Do you miss him?
A little bit, but not really.
Do you miss him?
I don't focus on other things. No, I don't.
Oh.
But that doesn't mean that wasn't fun.
Right. I miss those days.
I wish
those days would come back again.
Well, if I have kids, yeah, they will have those days.
Do you have any kids?
No.
Are you going to make some?
I don't know. It hasn't happened yet.
You want to?
You can't want anything.
Why not?
We'll see what happens. We'll see what the Lord wants.
You can't want any kids?
Those who want them mess them up. If they come naturally by God, then they'll be, they'll be perfect. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Oh, mess.
If I say that I want them, then you're going to say, oh, you know, we can't want anything.
I'm about to start here at
30 seconds. All right. Thank you, Nick. Good morning. Welcome to Fellowship. I'm Jesse Peterson. Thank you so much for being with me. Happy Easter to everybody out there. Have fun. Reflect. Don't eat too many eggs. Happy Easter, everybody.
Happy Easter.
Anybody here still celebrate Easter? Just three, four, five people. Six. Amazing. Yeah, me too. Any first timers? Oh, nice. What's your name and how did you hear about it?
Nathan Trevor.
Oh, hold on, Nathan. I'm sorry. Take the mic there.
Hey, Nathan Trevor, and I watch all your content on YouTube.
Where are you from?
I'm binging. From Massachusetts, but now I'm a Californian.
Oh, right on. Welcome.
Thank you. Appreciate
Amazing.
That.
And your name and where are you from?
My name is Rebecca L. Norrington. I'm from Roseburg, Oregon.
Nice. Welcome, Rebecca.
Thank you.
And here?
Hi, everyone. My name is Clara Yuzi. We're from New York.
New York. Welcome. Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah, Chuma and from New York. I've seen your YouTube content.
Thank you. Amazing. Anybody else? First time? Okay. Any questions? Yes, Raymond. Thank God. One live one in the audience. Yes, Raymond.
You've heard that that accident in Baltimore involving that the Francis Scott Key Bridge. I was wondering, does anyone in this church even remember who Francis Scott Key was?
No, and nobody cares.
You don't know who the author of the Star Spangled Banner?
No, and nobody cares. Mm. At least not today.
Fine.
No, I do care. Nice bridge. She built the bridge.
It was named after him.
Oh, okay. Thank you, Raymond. Oh, it was a him, not a her.
Yes, it was a him.
Well, why his name is Francis?
That's just how they named them during the 18th century.
Where is he now?
Okay, he passed away a long time ago.
He did. So James, should I finish up last Sunday first?
Sure.
Okay. Last Sunday I mentioned that I used to give a lot of talks to conservatives, Christians, and at different rallies and things like that. And I noticed that in Patriots and some of the urban events as well, but I noticed that with the conservative Christians and Patriot people, there were not many young people at their event. And I used to ask, why don't you have young people here? They should be learning about this. And no one really ever said what it was. But then when there were some young people there, I would ask them, why don't you attend events? And they would say they hate their parents. And I'm like, why do you hate your parents? they would say because they overdo it. They are into much of being a patriot or Christian or whatever, right? And so I've been wondering, why is that? Why is that? And I realized that whatever you call yourself, that become your identity. And you start to live by that and try to force it on other people. And so the patriot felt like they had to go out and save the world, save the children, because they had identified with being a patriot. And a Christian feel like they have to go out and preach to everybody, because God says, spread the word, go before the world and spread the gospel. And it doesn't mean that at all, but because they have identified with that, they call themselves that. That's what they think they are. And it feels like a mission. And the liberals think that, oh, I'm a liberal, I don't care about anything, I'm free, I can do what I want. And they have a mission. And so with the rest of them too. And so the message in that is that you got to stop, if you really, really want to be free, you got to stop identifying with anything. You have no identities. Because everything you identify with, you call yourself that. I interviewed a woman who thought she was a man on the Father Satan. Did y'all see that?
Yeah.
And it was so interesting because they identified with being a lesbian, to the point that they thought they felt like a man, and they put on a man costume, meaning they took the hormones and things, they developed a beard, they looked like a man. But inwardly, she made it clear she still was a woman. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
And what did you think about that interview? What did you get from it?
She said it was a mental disorder, correct?
Yes.
I mean, so that's just a disorder what? That she has.
Hold on a minute. I want to get you on mic. Go ahead.
I thought it was quite interesting. One thing that came to mind when I watched it is how I remember being, you know, in the Christian, traditional Christian church for a little stint.
Right.
And I feel like Christians separate that type of so-called sin from everything else. And as I was watching Buck, I realized that it's the same.
Yep.
It's the exact same demon, no matter what we're calling it.
Absolutely.
And it's really, and I know it sounds, I mean, you say this all the time, but a lot of what you say, as simple as it is, it takes a minute, at least for me, for it to really penetrate, for me to get it. Like, I hear it and I understand it, but I don't get it. But there's something about that interview where I got it.
Yeah. It's all the same. Evil is evil is evil. It doesn't matter what name it cover up itself with. It's evil. But Satan tend to put different titles on itself, what people do, human beings do, because they don't understand what's going on. But you're right, it's the same. Evil is evil. And evil hate us. And evil want to kill us. And it cover up by giving itself certain names. So stop calling yourself any name. In order to die, you must stop calling yourself anything. Or you're not going to die from death. I mean, that dark life. Amazing, huh? Did you see it? You watched it?
I did.
What did you think about it? Oh, hold on. Wait for the mic. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I thought it was amazing. And I thought that Buck carried herself very well. And, you know, with her condition, seemed to sort of have an understanding that, yes, I have this problem. I can't overcome it.
Yeah.
I don't know that I would agree with you that if she does all the forgiveness, she could ever overcome what has happened to her.
She can, absolutely.
She can? It just seems so difficult.
100% be free from it all.
Are there examples of people in that condition that then come back and become perfectly correct?
Yes.
I have not seen them.
Yeah, I interviewed a hermaphrodite. You know what that is?
Yeah, both organs.
Yeah, and their mother had raised them that they were a female, but they didn't feel like a female, right? They knew as a kid they were not a female. They were a male, but the mother dressed him up as a woman because he had both body parts. And all his life he fought to be a man, but he just wasn't treated that way, so he tried to accept it. And now he's in his 30s or 40s. And once he heard about forgiveness, go and forgive, and watch those thoughts and stop identifying with them, now he's free from that. Totally free. It's as though it never happened.
Amazing.
And so for Buck, that could happen too for anyone, because it's just an illusion of imagination. It's not even real. And so he may have to do something to bring the body part back, you know, erase the man image, but he can definitely get back.
Thank you.
Yeah. And you say you saw it as well? Did you get anything from it that you had not realized before?
I mean, I agree with what they both just said, but I think overall, I think there's just a lot of people like that that he was just very open. He was very willing to sit and, you know, agree or disagree or just consider certain things that you were saying. And I think there's just a lot of people like that are, when they hear the truth, they're actually willing to consider it. You know, I think there's, that was my biggest takeaway without getting too long.
I've never interviewed a woman that went to a man thing. It's always been men going to the woman thing. It was interesting to interview a woman to man. And most people, the radicals don't want to hear that. They don't want, because they totally have accepted their hell. They don't want you to know that there's a way to overcome. They don't care. They love their hell. They love their misery, so they don't want. But a few die. Yesterday I talked to a man and a woman, two different people, but a man and a woman that lives in an insane asylum. They live in a crazy house. Anybody ever been to a state asylum before I talk about you? You lived, you were a patient at once? Oh, let me talk to a crazy man. So you were put into a sane asylum?
Yes, sir.
And why?
Because I was tired of dealing with, like, almost the world. Like, I could see things that wasn't right, and I had to go reset, like.
And you started tripping out the reason they put you in there?
No, I just wanted to go in there and see what it was like.
So you put your own self in a sane asylum?
Yeah.
And what did you realize from it? From being there?
One, I realized that I didn't need to be there. But I realized that, like, some people can't help themselves. And some people talk out their thoughts, and they're at peace living in their own unconsciousness. I see what you talk about in the insane asylum, and I see that a lot out here in the world.
Do you see it in yourself?
I can't say so much, because I can actually see my thoughts. Me and we was talking, and
do you see you're insane right now?
No, when you can see the insanity, you become sane. So I see the insanity out here.
So do you think you're sane now or insane?
I think I'm sane now.
You do?
Yes, I really do.
I have a surprise for you.
I'm one of those that done came back to the Father and got perfect peace. So I don't even identify as not angry anymore, or angry, or any of those. Not all the identities, I agree with you, need to be away. Just be whelmed. Don't be underwhelmed. Don't be overwhelmed. Just watch and see.
just be like whelmed, it. Huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you, buddy.
Not a problem.
I get to this. Let me finish this. So I talked to them yesterday, and they were like totally insane. Totally insane. The guy was saying that he was Job, he was Abraham, he was the descendant of somebody from way back when. And I'm like, no, that's not true. You're crazy right now, that's not true. And I couldn't get him to see that he was insane. He truly, he was like, I could heal people, I could heal dogs and cats. He was like, I've been out healing. So I thought of her son, maybe we can bring his dog to him. I'm like, you can't hear nobody, you crazy. They're like, no, I'm not crazy. Yes, you are. You just don't know you're crazy. They're like, I'm not crazy. I'm like, yes, you are. You are not Job, you're not Abraham, you're not descendants from them, but they were convinced that they were. Absolutely convinced that they were. And the woman would complain about her mother She's like, my mother's insane. My mother drove me insane. And now I'm saying that my mother crazy. I'm like, no, you crazy too. And she was talking about the bank and how the bank taking her money. And I'm like, you don't have any money. You're in an insane asylum. It was crazy. It was so much fun in that. They were convinced that they were not insane. And I realized that's every human being on this side of heaven. Everybody in this room is insane, don't know it. And I got proof. Who here think they're not insane? Don't be scared to raise your hand now. You're not insane. Okay, the young man in the hat. I saw your hand first. You're not insane?
No.
And why do you say no?
Because I'm not like these people out on the street, I guess.
Right. And meaning what?
Like hitting people or breaking cars and shit. And excuse my French, but...
That's insane right there.
Yeah.
You just cursed in church. You still believe you're not insane? No. But so you say you're not insane because you're not like the people on the street?
I'm not that bad off. I mean, I hear what you're saying.
What am I saying?
That we're all different. Our brains work differently. And we all just put on a front, I guess, for society. And, right?
Amazing.
Maybe I'm a little bit insane.
Maybe?
Maybe.
Okay. So are you?
Yes.
And why you say yes?
Because, I mean, I've had my moments, and sometimes I do feel a little insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I try not to show it all the time.
And why not?
Because, you know, there's certain standards of society that you have to uphold to, and you can't just be running around naked and stuff, basically.
You can't run around naked? And you want to run around naked?
No.
Oh.
I mean, some people do.
Yeah, I know.
Right.
Yeah, insane. Okay. This young lady want to respond. Are you insane?
No.
I'm sorry?
I said no.
And why do you say no?
That's a good question. Anyway, I think everyone has some level of insanity in them.
How about you?
Right now, I think I'm sane. But if you drive the insanity out of me, then it will come out.
Yeah. So you are insane?
Depending on the situation. It depends.
On what?
On the situation.
Meaning,
I will describe myself as being sane. However, depending on the occasion, someone can bring that insanity out from me.
Someone can bring your insanity out?
Yeah.
The insanity out?
Yeah.
How?
By probably like, say I'm walking on the street and you grab my pocketbook from me. Or you try to kick me or hurt me. Of course, I'm going to act like an animal like you. I'm going to try to fight back.
Right.
Yeah, so that's what I'm
saying. And so if you were not insane and somebody took your purse, tried to take your purse, would you act insane if it wasn't inside of you?
Yeah, I'm going to act to defend myself.
But would you act insane if you didn't already have it in you?
That's what I was trying to say. I think it's in everyone.
How about you?
Including me. I'm a human being in this planet. I think everyone in the planet have some level of insanity in them, but you suppress it and you try to act normal, try to act within what is expected of you. But sometimes some situation brings it out.
Do you want to overcome your insanity and be free no matter what happens outside of you?
No.
You want to be insane?
Sometimes, because...
You want to be insane?
What to help me?
You can't just be insane. You have to try to be sane.
Speak into the mic for me.
If somebody bring out the insanity...
Hold it, yeah.
Yeah. If somebody tries to bring the insanity out of you, you have the right to defend yourself.
But if you were not...
Like, I wouldn't use any cuss word on anyone. Like, if you keep cussing me, I'm going to try to control myself. But if you come and punch me and hurt me, then I'm going to let go.
But if you were not, if you had no insanity in you, could anyone bring out something that's not there?
That's why I say it's there.
You want it to be there?
Repressed. Yeah.
You want to be insane?
Yeah, of course.
It's normal to be insane.
In this society today, you have to have some level of insanity in order to survive.
Are you married?
Yes.
What do your husband think about your insanity? Speak up, hold the mic up, woman.
Yeah, he knows, like, when not to cross, because when I look at him, even my son knows. When he does something, when I look at him, he knows to stop.
So you look at them with those insanity look,
yes,
with
that
and they know to stop?
Yes.
And how you feel about that?
It's just there. I'll just look at you. You know you're crossing the line. And if I'm in a good mood, I will tell you, you are crossing the line. But there's a level of crossing the line you will get to. I can't say anything any longer. Then I will act.
And do you curse?
Depending on the situation.
So you do curse with your husband at times?
When I'm insane, of course.
I understand. Are you her husband?
No, my son.
That's your son?
Yes.
What you had when you were 3? That's your son?
Yes.
How old were you when he was born?
Yeah, that's my son.
Amazing. So what do you think about your mother's insanity? Speak into the mic for me.
It is what it is.
Meaning what? How do you deal with it? Speak into the mic.
How do I deal with it? It is what it is. I don't have a...
Do you wish she wasn't insane?
Do I wish she wasn't insane? I know who she is, and she is who she is. I don't necessarily wish her to change.
So you just say my mother's insane, I accept it?
I say my mother is my mother, and I accept her for who she is.
Was it hard to deal with as a kid?
Was it hard to deal with as a kid? Maybe to some extent, but actually, I wouldn't say it was so difficult to deal with because, you know, my dad was there, and so...
Oh, he protected you from her?
I suppose so, yeah.
Oh, nice. Amazing.
Yeah.
Well... You don't live with her anymore, right?
No.
Oh, good. You're out of that hell. So let's do this. Anybody do the assignment this week? Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's in your hand? 5. Okay. You had your hand first, right? I'll come back to you. What was the assignment?
Letting the morals go.
Drop all your morals and values.
Yes.
Did you drop them?
Yes.
You dropped all your moral values? And mm-hmm. What was it like when you dropped them?
Well, I realized I didn't have any.
Oh, you thought you had some?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. And what made you realize you didn't have any? Why did you realize?
Well, first I thought, well, first I kind of didn't understand it because I was like, am I letting it go? Like, what does that look like? And then I thought, oh, I'm in my head. So I'm like, if I don't see it, then it's all made up in my mind.
Oh.
You know?
And so did you do anything different than you would have done had you had more of the values?
I realized I was judging less, you know, because sometimes I'm able to see the thoughts and like, oh, I'm judging.
Yeah.
And then this time I'm like, wait, the assignment. So I said, well, then I'm just right there with you. When I see somebody nuts, I'm that too.
Amazing.
So.
And so, okay, nice. You dropped your more than value this week. How did you do it and what was the result?
Yes, I did drop them, how I dropped them, I just had to observe, because I said my morals and values come from common sense, and that was a little tough one, because I'm like, without common sense, you know, I'm going to start voting liberal or something, you know? But either way, I dropped them, and what I noticed was it's pretty much what I've been doing, and it's giving God complete control, you know, because it's kind of like you said, last week you said that there is such thing as just anger, but human beings just don't know it. So it's the same thing with common sense. I may have thought I had common sense, but I don't think I had any to begin with, you know? So,
okay.
And so I just let it all go, and it's just pretty much working on myself and just giving God complete control. So that's kind of what I came up with.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Raymond, you say you dropped all your morals and values? I saw your hand.
I did.
And you dropped them?
Yes.
And how did you drop them?
By realizing I never had them in the first place.
And what made you think, why did you think you did have some?
I believe I had some because I was conditioned ever since I was a kid to have some.
Oh, okay. Amazing. And last but not least, the young man waiting back. You drop your morals and values?
Yeah, I think I've been dropping it slowly. Like, even before the assignment, just along the way.
Right.
Because I think it's just dropping your morals and values is no different than dropping, like, your identities, kind of.
And what was it like to be without them?
It's like revelation, kind of. Because one example is, like, I used to really be into, like, you know, like patriot, like, constitutional values and, like, wanting that for the country and all that. But I realized, like I mean, don't get me wrong, I still... It's like a different way of seeing it now because I started to realize like that's an identity and they're using it to kind of divide us.
Oh, okay.
So it's not as important to me as before.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. And why didn't you do the homework?
I didn't.
Oh, did you raise your hand?
I nodded my head.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Let me talk to the young lady back there first. Do you have morals and values?
I forgot about that. I have assignment.
You forgot about the assignment?
No. I heard about that. I wasn't paying attention. I have to do it.
Oh, okay. What a beta. Okay. Let me come back here. Did you drop your morals and values?
No.
You didn't drop them?
Mm-mm.
And why not?
I didn't know how to do that. I just am who I am. I just maneuvered the way I typically do on a day-to-day basis. I did realize that I don't believe there is a such thing as morals and values, even though I was raised and morals and values were pounded into my head as a child. I don't really believe they exist anymore.
Why not?
Because what is a moral, it's someone's opinion on what is right or wrong or good or bad. And there is really no right, wrong, good, or bad.
So you don't have any morals and values? I thought you said you didn't drop them.
Well, I did the homework in that I realized that there was nothing to drop. It's impossible to drop your morals and values.
And why is that?
For me, it was impossible for me because they don't exist. There's no... I just am who I am. I just maneuvered as I typically would do through life.
So you don't have any values?
I don't know how to explain it because it was deep for me, and that I really pondered it, and I thought about, okay, how, I'm not going to go out and shoot people. I'm not going to go out and rob a bank. Is that a moral and value, or is that just something that's innately in me where I know that those are things that you just don't do? So I just maneuvered through life as I always do. And I kept in mind the assignment, but I didn't drop it because I didn't know how to drop it. What is there to drop? I mean, I didn't know. It just didn't make sense to me to drop it. I couldn't do that. It was impossible for me. I just did what I do.
So you think robbing a bank is immoral or moral?
I think that it is a decision that I wouldn't make.
And would you not make it because you're moral or immoral?
You know, I would have said before I met you, Jesse, that morals and values are very real. And these assignments and these biblical questions, they seem very simple. And I don't want to, one thing I've challenged myself is that I don't want to think what you're thinking. You know right. what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to think, oh, I know Jesse's going to say blah, 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 so my answer is going to be this.
That's what intellectual people do. They learn the truth. And whenever I give an assignment, they automatically go to, well, Jesse said you ain't nobody. Jesse said you have no thought. So I ain't got nobody. And that is horrible. That you stop right in hell and you don't get beyond that. So that's good. So are you saying robbing a bank is immoral or moral?
You know, Jesse, I have to say, I honestly don't know what morals and values are at this point.
But why did you say, well, I wouldn't go out and rob a bank?
Because I think that is because I would not want to deal with the repercussions of robbing the bank. I would not do well in prison, so. You know what I'm saying?
So that's why if you didn't have to go to prison, would you rob the bank?
No.
Why not?
Because I believe in earning.
Who?
I believe in earning my money.
It ain't worth to rob a bank.
No.
You're earning that robbery.
Yeah. I think people who get away with it are very genius. They're smart.
So you don't think robbing a bank is either moral or immoral? Or do you think? What do you think about that?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I really don't. I don't want to say what I think that you, because I don't believe there are morals and values now that I've done this assignment.
Right.
I really don't. And I feel like I am saying what I think that you would say, but I honestly thought about this for the whole week, and I kept going back to it and kept going back to, how do you drop your morals and values? What are they, and how would you do? Even if I had morals and values, how would I drop them? Like, it doesn't even seem possible to do that.
To drop them?
Right. It did, because I just am who I am. Like, there are certain things I'm just not going to do.
And who are you?
Well, I'm still discovering that part, but I guess morals and values are sort of like integrity to me. So I do consider myself to be someone with integrity. And what I mean by that is I show up on time. I leave when I'm supposed to. I don't gossip. I don't do those things. You know, I don't talk about my friends behind their backs. I say what I have to say to their face. So those things fall underneath the category of integrity to me. So I don't know. Maybe they're one and the same. I'm looking forward to your response.
Amazing.
To this.
The young man in the white want to respond. You did the homework?
No, I did not.
Did you know about it?
I did.
Oh, do you have morals and values?
I do have morals and I do have values.
What are your morals?
Well, my morals would be my definition of right and wrong.
Give me an example.
I know that if I was to behave in a violent way, be physically violent with a person that's not in self-defense, that's be wrong.
Oh, okay. And and what would be right? Give me an example of what you mean by right.
Well, what's right is, you know, love. Yeah, that's right.
Do you have love? Why is she laughing at you so hard? She like, she like, don't lie.
She's rude. She's rude. No, I don't have love.
She was laughing because you said you had love?
No, yeah. No,
she's
I don't, that's a lie. No, I don't personally have love. I have an intellectual idea of love, but I truly have seen so far that love comes from God.
So how you have value but no love, more but no love?
Well, I have values in a practical sense. As I work on myself, I see that with love, there would be no need for any of those titles or words, because, you know, it's just like with respect. You know, you don't need to have respect if you have love, because love gonna trump all. It's gonna show you the way. So, you know.
Are you working on yourself?
Most definitely. Not this week, though, because I've been moving. I was moving. I had a lot going on.
Nice. That's right. You need a break to move. Did you tell God, you know what? I'm moving this week. I'm not going to be working on myself.
Now he know.
That's right. Yes, ma'am. Did you drop your morals and values this week? Thank you, buddy.
Yes.
And how did you drop them? First, what were your morals and values?
Well, last week I said that I don't have any. I can see that I don't have morals and values, that it's just it's an idea. And I could really see this week that this is, it's like another shattering of the reality that we are in a fallen state. I also think...
Are you in a fallen state?
Well... I guess technically, like, I've forgiven my parents and I'm returning to the Father. Am I still seeing a lot of different things that I can have the distinction of the fallen state in myself? Absolutely. You know, I want to be pithy about it all. But there are a few things that happened this week where I could really see, like, not only do I think that I have morals and values, but I also think that anyone else does.
Like, I'm sorry?
I think that anybody else has morals and values, and I started to...
You said not only do you think what now?
I think that I have ever had morals and values, but that I also think that I ever thought that anybody else does, which brings me to, like, the fallen state.
You at one time thought you did have them or didn't have them?
Well, yeah.
Which one? You thought you did have morals and values?
I thought at one point in my life I had morals and values.
And why did you think that? What was it about you that made you think that?
My ego. I mean, I can speak to it now. I think it was an ego thing. I think it made me feel good. It made me look good. It made me feel better. I think overall, while I'm looking at this whole conversation all week, I can see that I know for myself that any idea of morals and values has been contingent upon, like, what is going to work for me, you know? Like, and I can see that outside in the world too. Like, I think the fallen state of man, we were born perfect in God, and we, because we're in the fallen state, the enemy has given us this idea that we have to, like, be good, show up on time, don't rob a bank, don't murder, don't cheat, all these things. And yes, I will say that some of that is the Ten Commandments. However, like, we're not living like that. We're living by, like, our ego. I mean,
You living like that?
I've been. Why? I didn't know any better. And I think, like, looking at it these last couple weeks, like, I can just see that part of where I get, if I find myself in a frustrated thing where I'm like, I'm giving up my morals and values about this certain idea and still have a feeling about it, that feeling is me seeing that, like, I think that anybody else is living by a moral or value compass. Like, it doesn't exist. It does not exist.
This young lady, and then the young lady way over here. Did you give up your morals and values this week?
I didn't do the assignment. This is my first time here.
Oh, you didn't know about it?
No.
Do you have morals and values?
No.
And what happened to them? Have you always been a low life?
A low life? No. I don't identify with any labels.
So you have never had morals and values?
I used to, yes.
And what were they beforehand?
No murdering.
No murdering?
Yeah.
That's the only one?
That's the... Yeah, I've stolen.
Oh,
yes.
You have?
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. Hasn't everyone? Come
no,
on.
No, you're the only one in the room.
No, I'm the only one. Yeah, yeah.
And so your morals and values were not to steal, I mean, not to...
Murder. A person.
But when you stole, did you think that was a value, a good one?
Back in the day, yes.
Oh, okay. And so now you have none.
None.
How did you let them go?
It's been a process, a lot of years of, when I say a process of letting go of the programming, you call it the devil, the ego, whatever, but letting go of all of that, letting go of the stories, letting go of labels. Like you said earlier, identify with nothing, which includes morals and values.
Oh, okay. Amazing. This young lady dying to tell me how she let hers go. Do you have morals and values?
Well, I'm sitting here because I didn't watch or participate last week, so I didn't know about the homework. But I'm sitting here thinking about if I do or don't. If you had asked me yesterday, do I have morals and values, I would have said, I guess so. I mean, I don't have a set of rules that I live by. I just try to be kind and give love, and I try not to hurt people. Is that my morals and values? I guess you could say that. Do I want to let that go? I guess, like what she was saying over here, is I live my life to what I feel is right, to where I'm not hurting people. So I don't want to let that go and just run rampant on the world. Is that morals and values, or is that just living by God? I don't know.
You say you just live and you try to give love?
Yeah.
How do you give love?
I'm kind, I'm patient, I don't judge. I think that's one thing I do pride myself in, is I don't judge. Like, that's one thing I can say for certain. I sit here and I don't, when someone tells me the worst of the worst or the best of the best, I don't judge and say, wow, that makes them a good person or that makes them a bad person. I think it's all situational.
And how do you avoid judging?
I mean, I just understand that everyone's in a different place in their life. Sometimes they're up, sometimes they're down. And that's all circumstantial. And there's only so much that a person can control in their life. And because of that, you know, like you can't think too hard or put too much pressure on a person because of that.
Do you judge yourself?
I think I'm hard on myself, yeah.
Do you judge yourself?
I guess so.
Do you judge yourself?
Yeah.
I thought you had morals and values. You don't judge. If you don't judge with morals and values, how you judge yourself?
I guess I judge myself when it comes to... I'm really hard on myself with my internal monologue. I don't know if... I try to be patient and kind with myself, but I don't know. It's hard.
I'm sorry?
It's hard. I take all of the non-judgment of the world and I put it on myself.
Oh, I see. And so you say you try to be patient with yourself? Be non-judgmental toward yourself?
I try.
And why don't you succeed at it?
A lack of patience, maybe.
A lack of patience?
Yeah.
So who is the person that's trying to be patient with the other person?
Well, it's, I guess, the person...
Speak up for me.
The person that I want to be, or the person, my higher self, God, talking to me. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that question.
Because you said there is a person trying to be patient with the...
Yeah, I'll say something mean to myself. Like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Or like, that was stupid. Why would you do that? And then I'll then say, be patient, be kind. So I don't know, like, who that higher person or the person with the kindness is coming from. Is it God? Is it my higher self? I don't know. I don't know how to answer your question.
So you is impatient with you, with this other person? Am I right? So there are two of you in there?
Is that the insanity in me?
I want you to really hear yourself. You say, I try to be patient with myself as though there are two people. So who is the person, first, who is the person trying to be patient with this other person? What does that person look like?
That's a deep question. I mean, I don't know.
And what does the person look like that you're trying to be patient with?
The person I'm trying to be patient with is, I feel like, the person that I maybe present myself as or who I am to the world. And then there's the me that's like, the person that I want to be, like a perfection almost, that I can't be because I'm not perfect. No one's perfect.
Amazing. And when you say be nice and this person up here respond, who is that?
I mean, what's coming to mind is like my morals, but then this is like bringing us back to the beginning of the conversation. Like, is it my morals that are talking, or is it who I think I should be that's talking? I don't know.
That's amazing. That's interesting, huh? Who are you?
That's a deep question. I don't know.
You don't know?
I love God. I'm trying to be... I just want to be in God. Like, I don't want to be anything, you know? I just want to love and... Yeah.
Do you love you?
I do.
Which one of you love you?
Both.
Both of you love you? But if both of you love you, why is one of you impatient with the other you?
I don't know.
Amazing.
Amazing.
Hake want to respond to that? He want to try to help you overcome that, and then I'll put my two cents in?
Maybe it's best to just drop all of it and not tell yourself to be patient or not try to tell yourself to be anything. That's the best I can do.
Was that helpful?
Yeah.
Oh, it was. And how would you drop both of you? He didn't tell you how to drop both
of
them.
No, he doesn't. I mean, but I get where he's coming from. Like, just let go.
Let go? Yeah. Let go of what?
That inner monologue where I'm judging myself.
Did you know that that's the devil that's judging? The devil is not you at all. This person you're talking to up here is hell, is evil.
It's my hell.
But you call it evil you. Mm. Why you call the devil you?
Well, I guess I didn't really think about it as the devil until just now, so I have to unpack that.
Yeah. Are you working on your life?
Yeah.
Is this your first time here?
No, I've been here a couple times.
Okay. And you are working on yourself?
Yeah.
And how are you working on yourself?
Well, I've forgiven my mother.
How did that go?
It was okay. I mean, she kind of had a response where she said she forgave me too. So
did you tell her, yeah, you forgive me, I forgive you?
I didn't. You know, but I, you know, I went through that. I been doing the silent prayer. I try to read the Bible. I try to understand that people live in their own hells, and like there's only so much that I can do, because I think part of me wants to help people to an extent that I overextend my own self.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the biggest takeaways I've had since watching you, is that understanding that people do live in their own hell, and there's only so much that you can do for each person.
There's nothing you can do for them.
Right.
Zero.
Yeah.
And as soon as you realize that, you'll be free from it.
Yeah.
You can't help anybody.
Yeah. So I think that's, you know, understanding that, and just taking it day by day.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let me do this because I want to get into the Easter thing. Let me ask Joel, did he drop his moral value? And then here, I want to add the bunny rabbit.
Yeah, I dropped morals and values.
What?
I did drop my morals and values.
And yeah. What were your morals and values?
Just identity of right or wrong. And what I learned from that is that there is no right and wrong in the sense of the only reason why I was trying to live a certain life was because I felt like wrong was wrong in God's eyes, or good is like good in God's eyes. But you can't fully overcome until you drop the morals and values. You can't really see or learn, because nothing's unlawful, but not everything's beneficial, but there's nothing that's unlawful. So when I understood that, it frees you up to know that sometimes when you do certain things, it doesn't mean it's evil. It still can be of love, but it's not lawful, unlawful, if that makes sense. So I did drop the morals and values.
Repeat the unlawful thing. I'm sorry.
Like nothing is unlawful, but not everything is beneficial. And the reason why we get caught up on the right and wrong thing is because we have this false judgment of what right and wrong is. And we think if we do it, then we're a bad person, or if we don't do it, we're a good person. But that's just keeping us from learning what we're dealing with.
When you were trying to keep your morals and values, you had them at one time, right?
Oh, for sure.
Was it difficult to keep them?
Not that it was difficult to keep them, but it was more so bringing problems, because I was judging myself based off of it, or like believing the judgment about it.
Right.
That I'm good or I'm bad, but I wasn't allowing it to come out of me, so I can truly see like what it looks like. So I would like suppress it because, oh, that's bad, and not let it show its face.
Oh,
and
I
feel like that's the problem.
And now you don't do that?
No, I realized, now I'm working on it. Now I see that it's wrong to have any type of judgment about anything. Just let it happen, and nothing's that big of a deal.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh. Amazing. Yes, Nick. The anchor baby. Did you drop yours, your morals and values?
I tried so hard.
You tried to, but you couldn't?
I did.
And
well, I think, thank you for the question, by the way. I'm like an intellectual, right? And I was probably even thinking to myself, I pray now. I'm not that intellectual. But I really am. I was stuck for a while, like, how do I do this, first of all? And then it finally hit me. Oh, drop your morals. Stop looking at them as good and bad, is what I realized. And so then I tried doing that, and that was actually pretty difficult. I couldn't do that. Like, I'd remember that good and evil, that up and down are like lies, and then I would drop them. I would drop them. I wouldn't see what's going on in my life as good and bad, and then all feelings would go away. But then a second after, I'd forget, and then see things as good and bad again. So that's what I mean by I tried.
Oh, I see.
I tried, yeah.
Okay, interesting. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I wanted to do the assignment, but I felt like I couldn't because it was impossible. And then I found myself doing the assignment.
It was impossible to drop your morals and values?
I thought it would be, because I thought if it gave, it would give me a license to go commit sin, is what I thought. I thought by you telling
me that. You thought that if you drop your morals and values, that you would go commit sin?
That's correct.
And why did you think that?
Well, because I thought that dropping them meant that I was going to lose all my sense of what was right and wrong, and then just start doing what was wrong. So when you said that, that's what I assumed, and I said, oh, I'm not going to do that because that's not right. But then what happened was...
Were you doing right before that?
I thought so. I thought I was
doing
right. No, because, this is what happened. I got angry at a homeless guy who was blocking the entrance to 7-Eleven because he wanted money. And I thought right away, I was like, oh, wait, I could drop this moral and value. This is something I could drop. So I immediately dropped it. And the moment it happened, I wanted to give him money. And I was like, wait, that's not the opposite. That's the opposite of dropping morals and
values. When you dropped your moral, you wanted to give him money?
Yeah.
But prior to when you had the moral, you didn't want to give him money?
Correct.
And well, so my what values. Happened? And so what happened?
So I realized exactly right then and there that dropping morals and values didn't mean doing the opposite of what my morals and values were, not to just go out and just commit sin and do things. It just meant to stop the judgment of how I saw the situation I was in and to stop placing myself as God, playing God in the situation.
And because did you that's stop what it was. Doing that?
I stopped, yeah, immediately when I saw that was happening. I said, okay, that's how I could drop these morals and values, and that's what I did.
And how did you stop?
Well, I immediately stopped judging. Like, I noticed myself just observing and not judging as much anymore and getting upset. Like, there was no anger involved in, like, there was a little bit of anger when the person blocked me, and that's where I was like, oh, that's because of my own value that I saw in myself.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. I see so many hands. I want to get into Easter. Let me do this. The young man in the blackjack, what do you think about what you've heard so far? Has it been helpful or non-helpful? Speaking to
you. Yeah. For me personally, I don't think I'm really understanding the whole I don't have morals and values or dropping morals and values. I feel like everybody here is here today because of their own values, and that in our everyday lives we give things values. I think even talking to that homeless man, for instance, and dropping, you know, taking that moment to calm yourself down is a moment of your own morals and values. You know, I don't want to be angry at this gentleman, or so I'm not really understanding.
You have morals and values?
Yes.
And where do you get them from?
I get them from my upbringing. I get them from my parents, I'd say, majority.
But do they work for you?
They do. They work very hard.
They work very, what does that mean?
They work for me. I mean, I'm their child. They give me support when I needed it, nurturing.
Your values do?
Yeah, I think they gave me some values as well.
So you're more, so you said your morals and values work for you?
Oh, yeah. I think as well, yeah.
In what way do they work?
They help me be a better person, I think, in a lot of ways.
How are you better?
What was that?
How are you better?
I have these moments maybe sometimes of, you know, we were talking about insanity a little bit earlier. You know, I feel anger sometimes, different emotions. I think my values help me keep more level-headed. They also give me direction in life and what I'm looking for and how I want to achieve it. And
amazing. Things like what, that. if you have morals and values, why don't they prevent you from ever getting angry?
No, I get angry.
That's I know, but why don't your values stop you? Put the mic up to your mouth.
Because I'm human, and I deal with emotions.
And that normal?
Yeah, I think everybody deals with emotions, and I think our
How
morals
about you?
And values.
Is it normal for you to be emotional?
Is it normal for me to be emotional? Yeah.
So when you're angry, that's a normal emotion?
Yeah.
It is? You like being angry?
That's not what I'm saying. I don't like being angry. I feel like my morals and values help me get away from those unpleasant feelings that we sometimes feel.
When you say we, is there someone attached to you or something?
All right, I.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So when you're angry, is that a normal emotion or abnormal?
Abnormal.
And so why don't your values stop you from having an abnormal emotion?
I guess just don't feel like that's how it works. I think my values help me after I feel, you know, to be able to control myself and not do something that I might regret later on or hurt somebody else or be unpleasant.
Okay. So you say that you got your morals and values from your upbringing, from, I guess, around you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who taught you to be angry?
That's just, I think that just comes with the deal of being human. I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I think that just, you know, that's just, you're born with that being able to be angry.
Oh, I see.
Or sad or happy.
And do you want to be that way or you want to overcome it?
I think nobody wants to be angry or sad.
How about
sad.
You? Do you want to be that way or do you want to overcome it?
I'd like to overcome it, yeah.
If it's normal, why did you want to overcome it?
If I don't want to be, I'm sorry, can you repeat the...
If it's normal, why do you want to overcome the anger? It's part of your values.
Yeah, because it's unpleasant. I'm not saying angry is my value, I think...
It's one of them, right?
No, I think my values help me to try not to be feeling these emotions.
So anger is not one of your values?
No, no.
Is one of your morals?
No.
Who is it?
It is...
Amazing.
What is anger?
Who is your anger?
Who is my anger? Yeah, I don't understand.
Oh, okay. Is this your first time here?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What's your first name?
I'm Harry.
How you hear about us?
Through my friend Van here.
Oh, yeah. Good. Have you ever talked to Van about your anger?
To Van?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And what did he tell you about it?
He gave me some advice about how to live, you know, more free, you know, be more free about it and not to think about it in a more positive light. Because I feel like when you get in those, you know, unpleasant emotions, when you're dealing with those, you get really stuck. You can get really stuck. And so.
Well, he didn't tell you how to overcome it?
No, I feel like that's something that you have to do on your own. You know, so.
Oh, okay. Ben, you didn't tell him how to overcome it? I thought the two of us...
I thought I did.
Maybe. I thought this was all kind of before you came to the church, I thought. It was a couple of years, a year ago or so.
Oh,
so,
I see.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Let me do this. Nobody in the world has more than me. I have a different one for you. Morals and values are just an idea that you have. You don't have them at all. Everybody lying. Nobody have morals and values. And you gave a good example of, well, I don't want to rob a bank, right? But you'll cuss at the waiter if the waiter don't bring you coffee in time, right? Yeah. Or if the waiter, well, you won't curse, but you'll yell at the waiter. You stop yelling?
I don't yell at
waiters. Well, I want to use something simple like that for an example. You might not rob a bank, but you yell at somebody. You might not rob a bank, but you become emotional. There's no difference in robbing a bank and being emotional. Anyone that become emotional have no morals or values. It's just an idea. That's why you treat yourself so bad. That's why you treat others so bad, but yet you think you're a good person. Someone can yell, you'll be all nice. I'm nicey, nicey. And I love everybody. I don't judge. And then one person can brush up against you, you tick. Even if you don't say anything, but you think you have values. No human being, you can't have values. They only come from God. And they are going to only happen when you're born again. And anyone that lives with their imagination is not born again of God. You're living in hell. And you're not free. And you just think you have morals of value. And thinking you have morals of value is not having morals of values. When you stop thinking that you have them, then you don't have them. And the way to drop them is to stop thinking that you have them. That's all it takes. And the moment you stop thinking that you have them, they will be. You will have them. Your thoughts, it's your enemy. Thinking that you have them don't make it so. That's why you try to, you're such a horrible person, you got to convince yourself that you have morals and values. Oh, I'm going to go feed the hunger. I'm going to go give the bum on the street some money. You're doing things to try to make yourself think you have. I'm not going to be honest with my parents because I have morals and I respect my parents, but inwardly you hate them. You can't stand. Your mama want to come over, you want to say no, but you can't because you want to have morals and values. And when she comes over, you hate her. How long will it be before this witch leave? Y'all know what I mean? Amazing, huh? But you don't have them. Nobody can teach you to be moral. It's not something you can be taught. Either you have it or you don't have it. And every human being that's born through the woman don't have them. That's why when you join groups, you get mad at people when they disagree with you. And then you find a group to agree with you so you can feel like you have values. I'm right for disagreeing with that person and judging them. You have no values, none of us. If you have values, you will have perfect peace. And a clear mind. I promise you that. Satan lied to us. Our parents lied to us. The world has lied to us. And nobody loved nobody. Everybody, because of the lack of moral values, is about self. Everybody, our government is about self. They think they have morals and values. People who hate one another, they think it's like you have the blacks hating the whites, the blacks think that they're better. You have the white hating the Jews, the whites think they're better than the Jews. You have the Jews hating the Palestinians, they think they're better than the Palestinians. You have the Palestinians hating the Jews and everybody else. Everybody think they're better. If you didn't think that, you wouldn't be hating no one. As someone said, you have no opinion about anyone or anything. You have zero opinion. You will live a life without thinking. There will be no thoughts, except practical thoughts. Who disagree with that? Three people. Did you disagree too? Oh, wait, I want to do some quick disagreements. Then I want to get to Easter. We want to end on Easter. And why do you disagree?
I disagree because I think morals and values are unavoidable.
What?
So I think morals and values are unavoidable.
What do you mean by that?
So unavoidable.
Unavoidable? What do you mean?
So like the commandments, are those not morals and values? I think it's absolute BS.
What is?
To say that you can lack morals and values. That's not even possible.
Why do you think that?
And for the response of, well, why do you do bad things? Well, because you get overtaken by thoughts and by demons.
Why do you
and spirits,
think
that's
that
why.
you can still
have morals and values?
What do you mean by morals and values are unavoidable? I don't understand it.
It's unavoidable to not have them. I'm saying
how
you have
that?
To have morals and values. It's, you can't be. You're not a blank slate.
What do you mean?
Because you're human. You're not a blank slate. It's impossible.
How is that impossible?
It's impossible to walk around with no morals or values.
You have morals and values?
Of course.
What are your morals?
Mostly the same as the commandments.
My
morals
are
the same as Eagle Scout, to be
what
trustworthy,
are your
loyal,
I don't
helpful,
know about no Eagle Scout.
Friendly,
yeah,
courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean,
what?
Reverent, and the commandments. Those
slow down for a minute. Sure. What are your morals and values?
To not kill, to not covet thy neighbor's wife, to, you know, to not do things, and then to also do things, to do good for people, to help people.
You
obviously
can't do good for people.
Obviously. I would say, like, if I'm walking in the street and an old lady falls in the street, and obviously she needs help getting up, my moral and value is going to say I'm going to help her get up. I'm not going to walk by moralless.
Did that happen?
It has, yeah. I help people every day, Jesse. I would just walk around Skid Row. We walked around all of Skid Row live, all the darkest places, and we didn't do it to try and feel good. We did it, you know, because we wanted
you
to go feel it.
You helped nobody on Skid Row. It only helped your ego.
No,
you
didn't
felt
go there
like
with the ego.
You were doing
I
good.
I didn't go there with ego. I went there to meet people and have fun and to be without judgment.
Right.
But I
to
still have morals and values.
To have fun is all about you.
No.
I went there to meet people and have fun. Who was that about?
Me and other people.
No, I went there.
Me and other people had fun. I wasn't the only one.
I can't stay on the two.
Me and other people had fun.
I went to meet people and have fun.
Yeah, which I did.
So it was all about you and it wasn't about them.
No,
not
all about me.
More.
It was me and friends, and it was the people on the street. We all had fun.
Okay, let me go to this person because of time.
But yeah,
let me go to this person because of time. Blah, blah, blah. Yes, sir.
Yes, as the
you disagree.
Well, yeah, you said we can't have morals or values, right? As the gentleman here said, the Ten Commandments. I wanted to ask you
keep
aren't
the Ten Commandments?
Aren't the ten, well? First, aren't the Ten Commandments the morals and values that God commanded to us?
Do you keep those?
I don't think anybody has. I don't.
Do you keep those?
No, most
why
of them.
Why not?
Most of them.
Why don't you keep all of them?
I mean, fallen state.
What?
Than the fallen state.
So you have no morals and values then?
Yeah, I don't. And then you said that no one has love, right?
Right.
What? Speaking of Easter, you know, Jesus in the Last Supper.
Wait, we're going to get back to that.
Yeah.
But do you have love?
Yes.
You have love?
Yes.
Where did you get that from if you're in a fallen state?
Well, you overcome the fallen state.
But you can't keep the commandments?
I mean, now I can.
Do you keep all the commandments?
Yeah, most of them, yeah.
You just said you didn't.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's, I guess that's the devil in the mind, right? Yeah, but.
So I'm not, because of time, are you keeping them or you're not?
I can't remember them. I got to look them up. I know the first
you
four.
Mean,
four
yes and no. Are you keeping them or not?
No. Yes.
I thought you'd. Yes, sir. You disagree?
Yeah. Yeah, just in the sense that I feel like I have free will. I have thoughts that I act on and things like that. So that's the only thing I really don't.
You have free will?
Yeah.
And where did you get the free will from?
I think everybody's born.
No, how about you? Where did you get the free will from?
I like God. I think God gave me free will.
I'm sorry?
I think God gave me free will.
So why don't you will yourself to never get angry again?
I just don't think it's that simple.
But you have a free will. Why isn't it simple? Just say to yourself,
also,
you know what? I'm in charge here.
Still created
I'm
a
never get angry again.
Yeah, I think that's what that's what I'm going for.
But why not will yourself to do it right now?
Because I'm not that strong.
But what's the purpose of having a free will then?
To build up that strength, to learn, to live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
That's just my opinion.
No, no, no. I appreciate it. This is a fellowship. It's not a contest. Right on. So let me do this because of Easter. We want to end this on Easter. What does Easter mean to you, Easter Bunny?
Honestly, nothing really. It's just another holiday.
Really?
It's just another holiday, yeah. I know what it's supposed to mean, but...
What is it supposed to mean?
The resurrection of Jesus, as far as I know.
What? That's it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. This young man raised his hand. What does Easter mean to you? Did I see your hand?
But it was for a different topic.
Oh, I see. What does Easter mean to you?
Barbecue and get together.
Barbecue?
Watermelon.
You're supposed to eat eggs on Easter, man. But, and so, what was Jesus to you? Or what is Jesus to you?
Jesus is a an example.
Of what?
Of what you could be if you let go and let God, then you can walk in the light. You can walk on water if you allow your heart to be, you know, truly given to God through forgiveness.
And what are you doing that?
Me?
No, you.
I thought I was, and I am, right? But it's a process.
You thought you were, but you am?
Yeah, well, I thought I was, and then I got fired, and I did a bunch of crap, and then and then, you know, so I seen that I'm not as holy as I assumed that I was.
Right on. Okay. The young lady wanted to tell me what Easter means to her.
He's not lying, so.
He's not lying?
He's not.
He's not lying about what?
What he just said.
Oh, okay.
Easter, do some nice meal. Yeah.
What does Christ mean to you?
Christ, I was a Bible thumper for a while, and every time when I go to church, I fall asleep, so it is hard to follow the intellectual way about the Easter, like Good Fridays, like all this fasting, all this, yeah. So
what do you think about Jesus? Who is Jesus? That's a question, right?
Right.
Yeah, that's what I think about Jesus with all these things that you have to do.
So you have no idea about Jesus on your own?
From the intellectual way, yes, I do understand that.
Oh, okay. What's your intellectual idea of Jesus?
You have to go to the church, celebrate Jesus died on the cross, and cry for that. And
oh, okay.
That's all.
All right. Do you ever judge yourself and others?
I used to be. Now I don't.
Okay.
I know I'm the same.
Oh, okay.
No difference.
Amazing. This young man want to respond. What does Easter mean to you?
I didn't know it was Easter until I got here today.
Really?
Really. I mean, I knew it was coming up because people talk about it.
Are you a Christian?
I don't call myself that.
What are you?
I mean, I follow
are
the path
Jewish?
of Yeshua of Nazareth, but I don't call myself Christian.
Do you identify with any religion at all?
Culturally, I'm Christian, I believe, and in law, I'm Christian, but not by the label.
And so you just didn't realize Easter because it came too fast, or you?
I just don't really follow that type of holiday. I used to, when I was a young man, we'd have the whole pageantry and the eggs, and I loved it.
Oh, I got you.
But my family, my wife's from Japan, so we don't really celebrate some of these secular holidays.
Are you from Japan?
No.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Thank you. In the orange shirt.
What's the question again?
What does Easter mean to you?
What does Easter mean to me? I mean, it's the resurrection of Christ. He's supposed to be a better Christian, be a better person.
What did you say about Christ?
The resurrection of Christ. That's exactly
the resurrection?
Resurrection of Christ. That's exactly what Easter is about.
What does that mean? What is
resurrection? Resurrection.
Oh.
Sorry.
Are you black?
Yeah, sorry.
What the? What does that mean to you, the resurrection of Christ?
I mean, it means to be a better person, be a better Christian, to be a better human being.
Are you a better person?
No, not really. I mean, I'm trying. It's hard.
What are you doing to be a better person?
I'm trying to be less judgmental, trying to be less negative, trying to be less pessimistic, trying to be less, just trying to improve, trying to move forward, trying to...
Move forward where?
Well, you know, you can't be on a treadmill all your life.
Where are you trying to move forward to?
To greater peace, greater understanding, greater self-awareness, greater knowledge, knowing thyself, I believe, I guess.
Oh, okay. The young man in the black, the white and red, blue shirt, want to respond. What does Easter mean to you?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I know it's the you know, resurrection of Jesus Christ.
What does that mean?
He rose from the dead.
And?
And I guess thinking out loud, I guess it's like supposed to be a symbol that, you know, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He, you know, to save us. And
from what?
Save us from... our sins? That's what you think?
Don't tell him. Don't ask your mama. What the...
Yeah, I don't know.
Your mama tried to tell you, you asking her. Beta.
Yeah, he, you know, just rose from the dead to save us. And
from what?
Save us from, I actually do think, save us from our sins.
But you your know, mama just Adam told you that.
But, you know, like Adam and Eve and, oh, they, you know, fell from the garden and so... They had to, you know, deal with all the earthly stuff. And so I guess it's like a sign to say that, you know, you can strive for more. You can, you know, I guess resurrect in the same way that Jesus did.
Okay. Did you forgive your mother for all the hell she put on you while you were growing up?
I actually have forgiven her, yeah.
You told her?
Yeah.
And what did she say when you told her?
What did you say?
No, don't ask her. What the...
I don't know. I don't think she was just like, oh, is that what you believe? Like, and so, yeah.
I'm sorry?
She was like, oh, is that what you believe?
And you said what?
I was like, yeah. And I started giving her some examples and then, I don't know. She didn't really react in a, you know, super positive or super negative way.
Did she say, I'm sorry, I was wrong?
Did she apologize? I don't know if she necessarily apologized and said that she was wrong, but I think she just acknowledged what I said.
And so are you able to tell her how the cow ate the cabbage now?
How the cow ate the cabbage? I don't know how the cow ate the cabbage.
Meaning like when you're with her, do you feel like a grown man or do you still feel like a child sometimes?
I do feel like a grown man.
Nice. Amazing. Okay. I, because of time, I can't really get into it right now. What does Easter mean to you?
Personally, it doesn't mean anything to me.
It doesn't?
No.
Just another day?
Yes, I understand what it represents, but I don't, like, celebrate it.
What does Jesus mean to you?
What does he mean to me? That's a good question. It means a lot.
Speak up for me.
It means a lot.
Like what?
Well, maybe the thrill of thinking about Jesus reminds me to, you know, stay on the right path. But there's lots of examples of that, but that's the most notable one that I'm aware of.
Oh, okay. Amazing. Let me do this because, yes, sir. Is it about Easter?
Yeah.
And Jesus?
Yes.
Okay.
Sir.
What does Easter mean to you?
Death has
Are
been...
Are you going to put on another pink shirt?
I got some other wardrobe changes.
You changed clothes within the last hour or two.
Different acts. It means death has been defeated.
What did that mean? What do you mean by that?
That we now are back one with the Father. We have a way back to the Father, and we will never die.
How will you live if you don't die?
Well, yeah, we got to do that death. But he made it so that the real death is over. It is finished.
What is finished?
The death of Adam.
Be quiet, Mama. I'm sorry?
Yeah, that was a good answer, so we got to pay attention. The death of Adam.
What did that mean?
I don't know, it just sounded cool.
Oh, all right. Francisco, want to respond? I want to. Okay. Real short when I come to you. Yes, Franklin, what does Easter mean to you?
It's a special holiday, you know, where Christ rose and he died for our sins, and so this is a special day.
And what does Christ mean to you?
He paid the sacrifice for us, for our
sins.
What
was the sacrifice?
The sin, the internal sin that man has from Adam, from, you know, eating the apple, sinning. And so Christ came and paid that price. He lived the perfect life and was, you know, the example.
Okay. Yes, sir. You had your hand, right?
Yeah.
Real fast.
Yeah, real quick.
We're out of time, so I want to really get this in.
Yeah, there's more than one meaning to Easter, but one of the main meanings is what Jesus said during the Last Supper. He gave his disciples a new commandment: love each other as I have loved you. So that's one of the messages of Easter.
So you love everybody?
Yeah.
Everybody?
Everyone, yeah.
Even your enemy?
Yes.
You love the drag queens?
The drag queens, yes. I don't associate with them.
You
but
love,
I love
the abortion
them.
People?
Yes.
You love the people that kill
babies?
I don't
like what they do, but I love them.
Why don't you like what they do?
Because it's evil.
Amazing.
It's evil, yeah.
Okay, let me do this. Mm-hmm. Because of time, we like totally run out. I'm going to put this out here. You guys think on it. I want to read something for you. This is from John 25. It says, "Very truly I tell you, a time is coming. It has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live." And then in John 3:16 through 17, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whomever believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn it, to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." I'm going to bring my other Bible. Sometimes Google stuff is not quite up to par. But the young lady, what does that mean to you when you hear that? Let's just do one part at a time. The first one is he came to, no, it says that a time is coming, it has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. What does that mean to you?
The ones that hear God's message will continue to live.
And what message is that?
What do you mean, what message?
Are you dead or alive?
I'm alive right now.
You're alive?
And I think that by accepting Christ and living through God, I will have eternal life after my earthly death.
And why do you think you're alive?
Well, intellectually, I'm breathing. My heart's pumping. I'm conscious right now.
Why do you think you're conscious?
I mean, I'm perceiving everything around me. I'm talking.
Okay. So you really do believe you are alive?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Amazing, huh? The young man, are you alive or dead?
I believe I'm alive.
Why?
I feel alive. I feel things. Yeah, like you said, I breathe. I feel my heart pumping, I think.
Okay.
I do think my reality is probably different than everybody else's here in the room, but I personally feel alive.
What's your reality?
My reality? My reality is just what I perceive the world and how I perceive the world and how I live through it every day.
Oh, okay.
But I realize that everybody's is different.
Why do you say that?
Because everybody thinks in different ways. We all see things in a different view or light.
Okay. This young lady right here dying to respond. When he said that, for God did not send his son into the world who condemned the world, but to save the world through him. What does that mean to you?
Can you repeat that?
For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him, through his son. He didn't send his son here to condemn it, but to save it.
I think that means that even though all have sinned and come short of the glory of God.
Speak a little loud for me.
He sent his son to kind of renew us, to give us hope, to give everybody in the world that basically there's a second chance.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
How I articulate.
Doug, want to respond to that? And I'm going to close it out. What do you say, Doug? He sent his son not to condemn it, but to save us.
I won't pretend like I fully understand it, but it is one of those things that gives me hope so that I do understand it and I do. But every time I ever heard that and we are free, and again, I'm not going to pretend like I understand it fully, but it is what gives me hope.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. I'm sorry?
I just have a quick
Okay.
I just have a quick
Okay.
Are we
quick
still
question.
Just a quick question and comment. Can I do that real fast before you close?
Absolutely.
So the comment is that I just wanted to mention your show on Wednesday, your morning show. I just wanted to mention to the people here and maybe those who are listening who want to share your message and feel led to do it. Your show on Wednesday is the perfect one because you cover everything, of the principles in that show. So that's the one thing I wanted to say.
Check out JesseLeePeterson.com Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 a.m. Pacific time, and you can podcast.
And it's Wednesday's show.
Whatever. 6 to 9. That's your other time, or 8. 6 to 9 a.m. Pacific time.
Wednesday's show in particular. But the question is, do you think we could go over the biblical question next Sunday?
Oh, I forgot about the biblical question. I know. Yeah. What was the biblical question? Oh, what do you value? Yeah, make sure we do. Make sure we start out with that. All right? Because we're out of time, and I just want to add this here because I want to encourage you to work on yourself, work on yourself, work on yourself. What do you want, Hassan? No, go ahead. I'll mess with you.
No, just to answer that scripture.
Oh, okay.
I think it means that to be in the judgment and the anger and the condemning is the death, you know? And it's like Jesus came so that we understand forgiving and loving, and that's the life.
Oh, okay. Yes, ma'am. And then the bunny rabbit want to respond to it.
Very quick that I appreciate that you shared the scripture because, like I said, I used to fall asleep when people, the pastor, talk about the scripture.
Right.
So when you said that you... God sent the Son, and then he washed out our sin, and then we will receive eternal life. But I will see this now, after I return to the Father, forgive my parents. We already receive eternal life. We're alive every single day, breathing, everything functioning well.
Right.
And before that, when I start getting to the, you know, Bible thumper, they were like, make me believe from the scriptures that say what it just said, and you have to believe that, and then you receive that after you die.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that right. was totally messed up my mind, yeah. and I couldn't figure out, it's so conflict inside of me. Yeah. So now I can say that it's like, you already get eternal life. Amazing. You don't need to wait until you die.
Nice.
Thanks.
Short, few words or less. What does it mean he came to not to condemn us, but to save us, the world?
Just to give us the possibility to all overcome, to overcome and return to the Father.
Oh, okay.
And I do think that if you are not, you can be the walking dead. You can be alive and breathing physically.
Are you dead or alive?
I'm alive.
And why do you think you're alive?
Because I've lived so much of my life in hell, being dead, and now that I've seen a little sparkle of light, it shows me that I didn't have to live that way, that I can return to the Father.
Okay. Let me do this because of time. This day is, the day itself is a nice day, of course, just a day. But the act that happened Friday and then completed today was amazing. And Christ came, the Father saw that human beings were stuck in hell, that they were owned by the devil. There was no way out, zero. At first they were trying to keep the letter of the law, the Ten Commandments that he talked about, and no one was able to do it, except maybe one guy, I think. But no woman was able to do it. Sorry, ladies. They looked all up and down the earth, around the earth, and for the flat earth, up and down the earth, they couldn't find one holy woman. Sorry. But, and so Christ, God knew that there was no way out for the people, right? And so he decided, I love these people. They can't help themselves. They're living in hell. And so I'm going to create my own son, who is not guilty of anything. He's done nothing wrong. And I'm going to send him down there so Satan can take him into hell, because Satan did not deserve to take Christ into hell. He deserved to take everybody else. He had the right over everybody else because everybody else was sinning. They had done wrong. But Christ had not done anything wrong. And so he came down and he walked around, and those people who could recognize him, they woke up. Those who didn't, they stayed asleep. And so finally, long story short, it was time for Satan to take Christ into hell. And so, and going into hell for Christ, it wasn't an easy thing to do. But he knew he had to do it. But it wasn't an easy thing to do it. I'll tell you why in a minute. But he did it. And when he went, he bought all of us back. Now God owned us, and the devil does not own us anymore. And while being there, all sins were wiped away. And so when you were born innocent. You were not born a sinner. You were born innocent. You had no sins. Because all your sins had been wiped away. God said, okay, the slate is clean. You're all free to live as my children. But then, and so when he sent his son, even though everybody was sinners, he did not condemn you. He didn't say, oh, look at those old nasty sinners. Look at this alcoholic, a horrible person. Look at the bum on the street, a horrible person. He had none of those ideas at all. And the reason he didn't have those ideas, because he knew that the human beings were filled with evil. They were cursed by sin and controlled by the devil. They had the nature of the devil, who was every vile thing that you can think of. and that he controlled them. And he controlled their mind and emotions. And he was in charge. That's why the people couldn't do the right thing, because they were not in control of themselves. As it is today, there's not one human being on this earth who is in control of themselves. And there's not one human being on this earth who can control themselves. And if you knew that, you would never condemn another person, nor yourself, because you're not in control of anything. You were never condemned by God. He condemned the spirit of hell that was in you, and not you. You're not your body, you're not your thoughts, you're not your emotions. They are not you at all. There is no you. There is a you, but when all the fake you disappear, the real you will appear, and it will be amazing. You're going to be stunned at the real you. And Christ came, and so, and because we were born through families who are in hell already, every human being hates their mothers and yearn for their fathers. And so the way you were born into sin, you were born through an angry woman. She had anger. She hated God. She hated the children. She hated the daddy of the children. She hated herself. Women have no love. Zero love. They only have hate because Satan is their God, right? And so she destroys your mother is your enemy. And it's not her, but it's, it's like, the mother's like, and the son is like, your mother is your enemy. But let me be clear, it's not your mother that's the enemy, it's the spirit of evil that's made a home in the mother, passed down from Eve. It's in every woman. And the woman is the gateway to hell. Hell comes through the woman. And any man that has anger is a woman. Sorry, buddy. Any man that has anger is a woman. It's not your normal nature. And any woman that has anger is living an abnormal nature too. That's not your true nature. That is the nature of your mother, which is the nature of the devil, right? And so Christ came, and everything is cleared up. Christ is not God. He is our brother. As a matter of fact, when you read John 5:25, read that whole little thing. Christ talks about my Father's doing this work through me. It's not me. My Father tell me what to do. My Father works through me. I have nothing to do with this. My Father tell me when to judge and when not to judge. I have nothing to do with this. It's my Father working through you, through me. Christ made that really clear. It's his Father working through you. And to make long story short, until you are born again of the nature of the Father, your father, the devil, is making you think and feel and do everything that you're doing. It's not you. It's your father, the devil. And I want to urge you, do what you want, but you got to stop calling the devil you. There is no you. Because every time you say, I am angry, it's human nature to be angry. You are worshiping the devil and you're one with him. And there's no way out. But when you start to see that you are not angry, yes, there's this feeling of anger inside of you because you believe the thought and you overreact, but it's not you. When you stop calling it you, especially when you go and forgive your mothers and your father, forgive mama for recreating you into her hell, and forgive your father for not protecting you from mama because he never got over his hell, which was from his mama, and the woman he made the baby with is mama. He made a baby with mama, and the hell continues because you're attracted to what you hate. And so you are controlled by evil in your mind, emotions, and body. It's not you. You're being controlled. You have never made a decision in life. The bank robber did not decide to rob the bank. He didn't just wake up one day and say, let me go rob a bank. I have nothing else to do. he was influenced to rob the bank. He was influenced to do it. And when you start, it's like when you're walking out on the street, you see the bombs on the street, you're influenced to see them in a negative, evil way. You're condemning them. But it's not you, but it's the spirit of evil and all his little demons that made a home in you. It's making you do that, but you say you do it. And so you identify with it. It's not you. And anyone that has anger is dead. Their eyes are open, they're breathing, but they're dead. Spiritually, they're dead. They're walking up down the road. They eat breakfast. They work out at the gym, but they're dead. Because anger, ego, is death. It is not life. Anyone that thinks they're in charge of their life is dead. Anyone that feels good or bad about themselves is dead. Anyone that has fear is dead, because fear is the nature of the devil. Fear is the devil, and if you have, fear is the devil, and if you have fear, you're the devil. You are the devil. Fear is not of God, it's of the devil. And so I'm saying all that because, let me just add with this because of time, I'll see you real fast. When you die the ego death, really die it, mean that you have died of all ideas and all thoughts. When you have you're going to know when you have died because you're not going to have thoughts at all. Zero thought. You're just going to live your life and life will happen naturally. And when people try to offend you or you run into a situation, you will have no opinion about the situation at all. You just go through it. It wouldn't even be a thought. You wouldn't think about it because there would be no thoughts. Anyone that think, except practical thoughts given to you by God, anyone that think is of their father the devil. You're of your father the devil when you think. Oh, I wonder what they're thinking about me. I wonder how I feel now. I wonder this and I wonder that and I want this and I want that. And I this, you're of your father the devil and you're dead. You're not alive. But when you die to, and dying, I mentioned how it was tough for Christ. Dying the ego death is not easy. It is not easy. I can't tell you the number of people, men and women, around the world that are going through that ego death, and they're like, uh-uh, I want to stop. This is too rough. When will this end? There was a woman that called my office. I didn't get a chance to speak to her, but she's going through the ego death. She said, I'm going to put myself into a mental hospital. I'm like, what? The ego death is rough. And there are people who come and they hear the word and they're like, oh yeah, that's nice. And they walk away from it. There are some who come and they start the word, they hear it, it makes sense, they turn away from it. There are even people who come and they start the ego death and it feels like it's too much, they walk away from it. But there are those one or two people that go all the way through the ego death. And the ego death is everything you think you are, you're not. Christ came so we can do that. And so when you deal with people, once you die from yourself, you're going to deal with people with perfect love. You're going to love your enemy. And you will have no opinion about your enemy because you will understand. You will be able to see. And it will be impossible to have an opinion about yourself or anyone else because there is no you. This fake you is now gone. So that you could be, and then Christ would be your brother, not your God. He would be your brother and not your God. Because people literally believe that Christ is their God. And Christ tells me, I'm your brother. I'm not your God. God sent me. Oh, and then once that, you know how Satan take over the mind, right? When you become angry, he controls you. Likewise, when you die from the ego death, you're going to be controlled by the Spirit of God. You want you to be in control of that. He will control you in the same way the devil has been controlling you, the Spirit, but it'll be of good. It will be a perfect love. But you must be born again, salvation of the heart. You must be born again first of that. You must forgive your mothers every human being, man or woman, no matter how rich or how poor, how white or how black, how Jewish or how Palestinian or whatever, right? You're not going to wake up at heart until you apologize for being angry. Anger is hatred. Anger is the nature of the devil. You're playing God. And I promise you, you can be free right here on earth. You can walk this earth and live this life in perfect peace when you wake up. You want to be conscious. You want the mind of God. Right now, you have the mind of the devil. You have the mind of the devil. And as soon as you see it, as soon as you're able to see it, it's going to start changing. You're going to start seeing layers and layers and layers of identities you have picked up. You're none of those things. You have no morals and values. If you have morals and values, we have peace on earth. Nobody got no moral value. They don't come from mama. They don't come from daddy. They come from God and God only. And that only happens when you forgive and then that old nature fade away. Otherwise, you don't have them. You can't learn no values. How you going to say, I love this person, but I hate this person? How you going to look at one person and smile and pretend you like them while in your head you're judging them? How is it that you can say hello to somebody when you really don't want to say hello? I don't want to sit next to this person. But you sit next to the person and put up a front. How is it that you have love when you go downtown because you want to have fun and meet people? That's for you. That's not for them. So I want to encourage you, because of time, here's what I recommend you do. You got to go through the ego death. It's not enough to just forgive. I can't say this part yet. Y'all just have to suffer. Because I'm about to ask you give you the brand new biblical question for next week. The brand new biblical question. Oh, I want to finish, but we're out of time. What connects you with the physical world that you live in? You know, God said, be other in the world, but not of it. The brand new biblical question is, what connects you with the physical world that you live in? I heard someone talking the other day, and they briefly said something like, I'm like, wow, that makes sense. What connects you? Because we got to overcome the world. You got to overcome the world. Amazing, huh? So I want to finish this off, and then last week, biblical question too, but we're just totally out of time. Did this help a little bit about the Easter thing? Today is a day of reflection. You know what? I can't believe how much hell God brought me out of already. I can't believe the things I used to think and do and how I thought I was in control. That's what it means to fear the Lord, when you reflect and be grateful for the hell, even though you're not out of all your hell yet. At least some of the hell is better than all the hell that you had. So reflect and be grateful. It's not just a day for eggs. As someone says, it's for kids, it's a fun day. But it's still supposed to remind you of Christ. It's this outward way of reminding, right? But reflect and think about some of the hell you're out of, because you're not out of all your hell yet. You got to completely die in order to live. You cannot have any impression of yourself or anyone. I enjoy interviewing the female that thought she was a male, because I had literally, and I wasn't trying not to have any judgment. It's just, all that going to be wiped. Judgment of yourself and others as the ego is dying, going to be wiped away from you. You would never be able to judge yourself again. But because I understood it was a spiritual thing, and she just didn't know. Just like we didn't know until we heard, hey, we need to wake up. We need to forgive. So here's what I recommend. Forgive your mothers. They couldn't help themselves. And forgive your father. He couldn't help himself. And then God will forgive you. I'm sorry for resenting you. I realize now you couldn't help yourself. That's the beginning. That's where salvation starts, in the heart. Christ made that possible because the Father sent him to do that. And likewise, when you die from that ego, the Father going to work through you, and you're going to have paradise on earth. Nothing will get to you. Any questions about that? No. That makes sense? I'm sorry. Say it in the mic so they can hear.
Yes, it makes sense.
In what way does it make sense, real fast?
Well, I just look at it like we can be free. Like, it's just overcoming the thoughts, you know, the mind. And
yeah.
So I just look at it like Easter. I see, like, we're free. In reality, we're just free.
It's a bald-faced lie that you have to wait until you die and go to heaven and be free. You might not even go to heaven. Because if you drop your body with anger, you're already in hell. You're going to stay in hell. I wouldn't want to take the risk to wait until I die. You can have it now. Eternal life right now. Yes, ma'am.
You just said it. We already have eternal life if yes. we go through the death.
I'm right? sorry?
If we go through the if ego death.
Through the death.
Yes. So
you
that's my
die.
Questions. Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Amazing. Yes.
You know how you say we go through layers of hell and then there's a bunch of demons and eventually Satan steps in?
Yeah.
Are we going to know when Satan steps in, or is it just another layer that we go through?
Yes.
Okay.
Tell him how he'll know.
What was the question?
How will you know when you're going through the ego death? And I said there were layers and layers of it, right? How will you know when you're going through? That is such a good question, man. That's an amazing question.
You'll experience a lot more peace and contentment.
Peace and
but
what?
Contentment.
Contentment.
Contentment. But oh, it happen. Okay. But it takes a lot of time, and you have to be patient. A lot of patience.
And are we gonna know oh. when it's Satan, like the big dog?
Big dog? Are we gonna know when it's Satan, the big dog that we're the final boss, pretty much? You know what I mean?
Will you know?
You can feel it. You can feel the difference between contentment and tension.
Okay.
Let me let you know when you're going through the ego death. When you like, oh, this is too hard. I can't handle this. You're going through the death. When you're in your imagination and you're aware that you're in thoughts, you're going through the death. When you become afraid and you're aware that you have become afraid, you're going through the death. When you feel lonely, and you're aware that you're feeling lonely, you're going through the death. When you feel like giving up, oh, this is just so hard. And you're aware that you're doing that, you're going through the death. When you don't give up, no matter how painful, when you just feel like you can't get out of your bed because the pain is so overwhelming, but you're aware of that. When you walk into a room and you feel shy or nervous, or you feel afraid to speak up, and you're aware that you're feeling afraid to speak up, you're going through the death. It's when you're aware that you're going through it, that's when you're going through it. When you feel like you gotta be around somebody, I gotta make a phone call, because I can't stand, I can't stand to be alone. I gotta make a phone call, I gotta turn the TV on, I gotta do this, and you're aware of that, you're going through the death. But when you become unaware of it, you're not going through the death, you're in the death. You're calling it life because you make a phone call. I challenge you. So you get a real thrill of the death, sit in a room for 30 minutes without doing anything. Don't turn on the TV. Don't look at your telephone, your little iPad or iPhone. Don't call up anyone. Just sit there and look. Be aware. You'll see what the real death is. And it's the awareness of the anxiety and the overwhelming of pain and the doubt and the feel like you want to run out of the room, feel like you just can't stand it. Stay aware of that, you're going through the death. But if you become unaware of that by picking up your phone, now you feel a little better. Or by turning on the TV, now you feel a little better. Or by doing it, then you're not going, you stop the death. You're living in the death, you're calling it life. That make sense?
Yeah.
All right, you're welcome. So listen, do the silent prayer, rebuildingtheman.com/prayer. Forgive, I don't care. The other person doesn't need to apologize. I'm sorry for playing God with you, judging you. I was wrong. God will forgive you. And then watch. Just watch those thoughts. Stay conscious of them. It's not going to be easy in the beginning, but it will be easy. In the beginning, it's rough. And even down the road, it's a little rough. But stay conscious. It's the light, it's the mind of God that kills the darkness of Satan. He really will kill it. All right? So stay conscious, stay conscious. One of the greatest sins that you can commit is to forget to be present. You got to remember to stay present right here. Anybody that's in their thoughts, thinking about yesterday or tomorrow, you're in hell. And that's where Satan wants you. And one last thing, Satan does not want you to be aware. He doesn't want it. He's going to scream at you. He's going to yell at you. He's going to despise you. He's going to try to laugh with you. And then if that doesn't work, he's going to send some more little demons to get you, called depression or suicide or whatever. He's going to send them after you. He's going to send your past after you or the future, which doesn't exist. And then if that doesn't work, he's going to send people outside of you after you. Because the demons live in human beings. He's going to send other people after you. But if you just watch and don't respond at all, never argue with the devil. Inside your mind, don't talk to him. Don't have a conversation. Don't answer him. Because when you do, he's going to give you one thought. And as soon as he gives you one thought and you respond to that thought, he's going to give you another thought. And then another. Now you're conversating with the devil. It's enough to see the devil talking to you, but don't respond to the devil. Don't talk back to him at all. It's not you. It sounds like you, but it's not you. Does that make sense a little bit? Does it help a little bit?
Yeah.
In what way a little bit does it help?
I understand not giving in to temptations and sitting alone with yourself and God and ignoring the bad.
Have you forgiven your mother yet?
Yeah. I don't. Yeah.
What?
I don't know. For a second I was like, wait, what about? But then I remember what you said. So yeah.
You went and told her you were sorry for resenting her?
Not physically, but in myself.
Did God say do it in yourself or to go and forgive? And you don't believe him?
No, I do.
You disobeying the Father again?
No.
All right. Go and face her. And no matter what she does, it's fine. If she starts crying, just look at her like you're looking at a movie. If she starts yelling, I forgive you. Look at her like you're looking at a movie. Don't respond to that. If she fall out and die, you just say, oh, mama dead. Well, she dead. And look in the drawer near in the kitchen, right next to the silverware. That's where the insurance papers are.
Yeah.
Turn those papers. Don't tell your brothers or sisters, mama dead yet, right? Go get the money and then get the part you want and get the rest. Oh, mama dead. And don't overreact to her at all, though. She's not ready to overcome. But face your mother and forgive your father. He can handle your mother. He loved you, he just couldn't deal with her. Amazing, huh?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'm so out of time. Happy Easter. I see hands, and I know we could go on and on, but we've gone long. So the biblical question is what?
We're going to cover both. What do you value? What do you value from last week? We're going to cover that one, and then the new one that you
What's
just
the new
mentioned.
One?
Well, I don't remember.
What's a new biblical question?
What connects you to the physical world that you live in?
What
connects you to the physical world that you live in?
Amazing. Bye, y'all. Happy Easter. We'll do the super chats tomorrow if the Lord is willing and the creek don't rise. Thank you for your support, your tithing office. Happy Easter. Thank you all. It was fun. Amazing.